Life in His Name. Read the entire chapter of the Gospel of John, and just to capture on Easter morn, the resurrection, the historical reality of an empty tomb, most pivotal event in all of human history. But then at that personal level, we saw Mary and Peter and John, and just the dynamics and some just fun stories there. But also Mary's statement that just has universal impact for indeed the whole world, and I suspect most of us in this room, but I have seen the Lord. Folks, that's what ultimately the gospel is about, seeing and believing in the Lord. And then in their lives, the result, you know, Mary from her grief, where have they laid him, to a mission. Jesus gives her a mission to go talk, share with the disciples. And the disciples from fear, cowering in an upper room, to the joy of their master, the Savior, and the resurrection. And Thomas, which I suspect a lot of us could identify with Thomas, from doubt to faith. And I love that. That is a profound statement. My Lord and my God. And then for us, those of us that are Christians, the reality of being in a state of from death to life. And the entire Gospel of John, those last couple verses, the purpose of the Gospel of John is that the signs that Jesus did, and we went through the whole Gospel of John, goodness, 10 years ago probably, that you may believe. Believe, that's an important word. And then that we have life in His name. And so, by way of text this morning, I'm going to use a familiar one you've probably never heard of. John 3:16. Baseball season's begun. You know, I always call this the end zone verse. You know, football games, you know, John 3:16. But a profound verse that folks that don't go to church or are not Christians, a lot of times this is one verse they folks will understand and can quote. And so I'm just going to use good alliteration. Got to use a lot of S's here. But alliteration to walk through this verse on Easter Resurrection Sunday, the importance of this. The source for God. Not us. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So life in His name, salvation, the source is God. We have to start there. But the sentiment, for God so loved. In the Bible, sometimes you'll see talking about sin, and then you'll switch gears. It'll be, but God. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. The sentiment of love. What is the scope? For God so loved the world. This is a God-sized love. And when John uses the word world, it's not extensive as in everyone always out there, but more it's the intensive, a world in rebellion and sin. God still loved that world. A God-sized love. And like in John chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But then there's a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave. And so some of the terms, big Christian terms that sometimes we use in church that are very meaningful, but sometimes our Christianese, we lose sight of what's going on. But the word redemption, to redeem something. Pawn shops, you go redeem something out. Well, redemption, being bought out of the slave market of sin, we were redeemed, the sacrifice. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain, without blemish and without spot. Jesus' death and sacrifice, the ultimate, final sacrifice on the cross, redeemed his people. And it's all about the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's a little old term, but that word begotten means unique. Jesus is unique as God the Son. In John chapter 1, the first verse, the uniqueness in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is no ordinary Son. And then a few verses later, John 1:14, and the Word, who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, a few verses, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that unique Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You want to see the Father? We have the Son, who became flesh to be the sacrifice and the Savior. There's a summons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, whosoever, there's the universal Savior. All types of people, even people like you people, and me people. But that's how big God's love is. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, that is a powerful message to a world that needs that hope, needs that message. And there's a simplicity. The gospel, this side of the complexity of the gospel and all the heavy-duty theology, but there's a simplicity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. So what must I do? What must you do to be saved? Well, a Philippian jailer asked that of the Apostle Paul some close to 2,000 years ago. And the Philippian jailer thrown in a Roman jail and brought prisoner Paul out. He brought them out and said, sirs, Paul, Silas, what must I do to be saved? What can I do to please God, to be saved from destruction and an eternity in separated from God other than his wrath? And so Paul and Silas said, you can't do anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household, those others that believe. And folks, that's a simple message. And sometimes we overthink things in our shrewdness and intelligence maybe, but there's no wisdom in the world, that it's simple. Believe in Jesus or not. And the opposite, you are condemned for not believing. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. And so belief, that's a simple word. But in English, sometimes when we think of belief, it's, you know, I believe in Abraham Lincoln, head knowledge, facts, but biblical saving faith. In fact, the noun is faith, believe is the verb. It's the same word in the original language. You are believing, you are having faith, but there's a depth or a richness there. Saving faith involves knowledge. Yes, you have to have head knowledge of who Jesus is. You must understand what is called the gospel, just a word that means the good news of salvation in Christ alone. Who is he? He is God the Son, fully God, fully man. And what did he do? He died on the cross and rose again from the dead today, defeating death and hell. You have to know those facts. We live in a culture that doesn't, fake news, fake facts. Folks, this one has eternal consequences, knowing the facts. But saving faith also involves acceptance. Oh yeah, I know the facts. I went to Sunday school years ago. I know all that stuff. but accepting them and believing they are true. His person, God the Son, his work, the atonement, dying on the cross, the resurrection. You must believe that the gospel content is true. Do you believe it is true? And then ultimately, it really doesn't matter what you believe, it's whether or not it is true. And have you recognized that? But then that final step, saving faith, also involves trusting in Christ alone to save. So you know the facts, you know what he did, you believe they're true, but you have put your trust in that alone, Christ alone. You can't do anything for God, the source is God. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough money. You can't get wet enough in baptism and help little old ladies across the street. We have a few little old ladies in here, and we love helping you across the street. But that's not going to get you anywhere before a holy God. We are trusting in Christ's finished work alone, not anything we do. That's the simplicity. Believe, but it's not. It goes beyond, head, heart, hands. It's actually then trusting in Christ. And with that comes shelter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Perish. The Bible talks about, and this is one of those, well, why choose not to believe it? Well, you'd be wrong. Because the Bible talks about a real place called hell. Everlasting, literal hell. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus talked more about hell than anyone, but said, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, those non-believers. You cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Then the flip side of that, what you deserve with unbelief, everlasting hell. But for God did not appoint us, Christians, believers, to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a shelter from the reality of rejecting the salvation of a holy God and the wrath that is deserved on sinners apart from Christ. I suspect we all want that shelter because that shelter provides security. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have something that is given. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John writes, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Folks, that's assurance in our lives that it's not up to us. God has us securely. We have that security, and that's encouraging because, once again, in my strength, I would fail. But God loves even people like me enough to provide that security, safe in our faith in him. And then finally, the ultimate destination, the splendor of everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a long time. And that's what I read in Revelation 21. The gospel, John, the writer of Revelation as well, that new heaven, that new earth, when Jesus comes again to take his people home with him and spending eternity in a real place called heaven. See, that sometimes, we're too enlightened in our culture. Hell, heaven, devils, Satan. But folks, this is a reality that John 3:16 explains. The only way out of the current situation to this everlasting life. Well, so what? Like I read in Genesis, we have some seasoned citizens here that have been around for a long time, but physical life ultimately is a gift of God. And we saw back in the garden, first man, first woman, Adam and Eve, physical life. But folks, in our physical life, you've heard the saying, if you're born once, if you're just born physically and that's it, you die twice. Physical death and that eternal separation from God. The wrath of a holy God, justly. See, this sometimes, well, that's not fair. Do you understand how bad sin is before a holy God? And you die twice, physically and spiritually. But like John 3:16 and God's word, the wonderful message of God's grace and his mercy, spiritual life. Like I read the verses 30 and 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these signs are written that you may believe, that trust, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, physical life, and spiritual, eternal spiritual life. So when you are born twice, physically, I think, anybody here not born physically? I think we're all physically born. But spiritual, that message of trusting in Christ, you only die once. Unless Jesus comes back this afternoon, which would be wonderful. But some of us may experience physical death. But in Christ, we spend it, the best is yet to come. We spend eternity with our Savior. And so that's the message this morning. Easter reality, we call it Easter, but Resurrection Sunday. Sin, folks, before a holy God is bad. But God, his grace, the life we can have in Christ is beyond what we deserve. It is the gift of God. And then life in Jesus' name, we live our lives in his presence, in his abundance, in his fullness, and for his glory. That's what this day is, and we remember and celebrate. And because he is risen indeed, these things are guaranteed. And that's something in our culture today, it's nice having a promise that has been kept and will be kept. So thank you for being here. Have a blessed Easter. If you're not sure about any of this stuff, or didn't make sense, or you disagree, please get a hold of me. I'll try not to be eating cookies and choking all over you. But please, but come talk to me, because this is the joy we have today, but also the seriousness, the simplicity, but the other side of that simplicity. So if you're not sure about where you stand with Christ, please come and get a hold of me or one of your Christian friends or relatives. So, Soli Deo Gloria, it's for the glory of God alone. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the gospel message. And we thank you for John 3:16. What a powerful message, simple, but yet profound. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that they have trusted in Christ alone and that have incorporated and living their lives firmly rooted in the vine, which is Christ, that gives life to the branches. We worship you. We celebrate the resurrection. And as resurrection people, we are alive because Jesus got up out of that tomb. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.